If you are someone who truly wants to live their best life, then you're going to enjoy this episode because I'm sharing with you five things that I believe that you must do if you want to live your best life. Like, this is a part of the recipe of living your best life. So before we get on with the episode, I want you to know that I recorded this episode super early, so I might sound a little weird. I'm pretty sure I just woke up. I think it was like 5 a.m. or something when I recorded it. And I've been feeling a little off. I think I've had some congestion, my ears have been bothering me, headaches. I just need to rest more, really. I think that's what my body has been telling me since I've just been like on the go, go, go. So forgive me if I just don't sound like my normal self. But the content I'm super excited to share with you because it's something I've been thinking a lot about, like what it really means to live your best life and what are the characteristics of those who do live their best life, those that we do admire, like how are they showing up in the world? All right, so real quick announcement before we get to the episode. We are over here working on growing our reviews so that we can attract more amazing guests so that more people can grow from this podcast, maybe just like in the ways that you have from listening. So if you haven't left a review, please do so. If you're confused about how to do so, just Google it, how to leave a podcast review, and you'll be able to follow the process super easy. And it's my birthday month, so that would mean a lot and be super helpful. All right, y'all, let's get to the episode. Here we go. Hey guys, it's Ange, and I'm super excited to talk about this topic. It's something I've been thinking a lot about recently. Like, what does it mean to live my best life? So I think a while back I had told the story how I used to work with someone who was just so full of energy. And I remember one day after we were trainers together, and I remember one day after we ended up teaching this class, I went to her hotel room, and she had this full like charcuterie board, and she made like this alcoholic drink with the sparkling water, and she had like even taken the orange and like twisted it and did all that, and it was like all fancy, and I was like, what? This is so cool. Like, she packed everything with her for this trip to make her own little charcuterie board, and she didn't expect me to come over. But it was like, wow, you did this for yourself? Like, you were setting this up for yourself? And she said, yeah, I'm here to live my best life. And I was like, yeah, that's cool to think about. So anyways, let's talk about what it means to really live your best life, right? It's more than just the charcuterie board for yourself and making things look pretty for yourself. But I love that concept because what it does is it shifts your own energy. And you think like, hey, if I would do this for someone else, if I would set something beautiful up for someone else, why wouldn't I do that for me? You know? So to me, what does it mean to live your best life? I feel like it means to be waking up proud of the life that you've created. You wake up and you're like, yes, I'm proud of my life and what I've created here. You're honoring your values and your strengths. You're doing work that is meaningful to you. You have relationships that are loving and supportive, and that you show up as that kind of person too, the loving and supportive kind of person. You laugh a lot. You do your best to be present to what life has to offer right here, right now. Instead of being in that state of where you're always rushing through everything and you're not paying attention to the goodness that's here, that's something that I've been struggling with over the years, and I really want to be practicing so I can live my best life. So another aspect of living your best life is enjoying nature and everything that I feel like God has created, like truly enjoying it, going out and spending time in it, noticing the beautiful flowers, you know, noticing the cuteness in your animals, all the things, the smell of coffee beans, every little thing. Taking care of your body. And doing your best to show up with energy that is contagious and inspires others. That's all the stuff I believe is involved in living a best life. I know that's like a bunch of things, but at the end of the day, I think it's you showing up in a way that really makes you proud, right? And generating energy that feels good to be around. All right. So moving on. So what is the first action that I think you must take when it comes to ensuring that you're living your best life. So I got five actions for you. The first one is to pay attention to your dreams. People who live their best life do this. They don't ignore their dreams. They pay attention to them. They listen to the whisper in their heart kind of thing, you know? In the Gospel of Thomas, if you're not familiar with the Gospel of Thomas, in a nutshell, it's this book that was found a long, long time ago that was believed to hold these secrets of Jesus, like wisdom from Jesus. So it's not actually in the Bible, but it was founded. So anywho, this is what it says in the book. It says, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. So think about this. I feel like it's basically saying, like, if you have like this tug in your heart, like you want to do something and you feel that, right? And you don't answer the call. Like that tug, you don't bring it forth into the world. You don't give it away, right? That tug in your heart, that's going to destroy you. And I think about it as like living with regret, like how some of us think about really wanting to do something, to pursue something, to show up in a certain way, and we don't, like that is going to destroy us. So the reality is that pursuing your dreams, living your best life, can be really hard. And not living your best life, like not doing the things on your heart, that can be really hard too. Either way, it's going to be hard. Either way, it's going to be uncomfortable. And that's just a part of life and being human. Living your best life does not mean that you always feel so joyful and so ecstatic about life. In fact, I believe if you are living your best life, you are going to be stepping out of your comfort zone a lot. But generally speaking, when you wake up every day, you're like, I'm proud of the life that I've created. Maybe it doesn't feel always good because you're stepping out of your comfort zone all the time, but you're proud of who you are and how you're showing up. You know what I mean? So not always about feeling the greatest. So I just want to clarify that. So it's really exhausting, if you think about it, to ignore your dreams. So exhausting. It requires like a lot of you lying to yourself, a lot of you making all these excuses of why you can't show up, why you're not good enough, blah, 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 right? And that's exhausting to your own self. So why do we want to ensure that we pay attention to your dreams? The reason why, like we said, is that you're gonna, basically it can destroy you. Like the Gospel of Thomas says, like if you don't bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. Let me read that again. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. So in a nutshell, you will be living your life with a lot of regret. And remember, we always talk about the number one regret of the dying is what? That I did not live a life true to myself. I wish I would have lived a life true to myself, not the life that others expected of me. Number one regret. And that is an example of somebody not following their dreams. That's how I see it. Because of fear of what other people will think or just trying to please others. So that's something to really think about. I want you to think about this in your life. Like, what have you not been doing that you think that you know that you really want to do because of fear of it not working out, fear in general, fear of maybe what other people would think, whatever that is. I'm telling you now, if you want to live your best life, you need to pay attention to your dreams and listen to the whisper in your heart that keeps showing up. All right, moving on to action number two. People who live their best life are willing to be uncomfortable. In fact, they put themselves in situations that are uncomfortable. As Brooke Castillo talks about this over at the Life Coach School, she says that they're willing to leave their cave. So to be extraordinary, you must do extraordinary things. You must seek out opportunity. So the opportunity mindset, I love this because this is where, when we talk about the energy levels,
Level 5 energy is one of my favorite energy levels. It's when you show up with curiosity, right? You're curious, you look, you seek out opportunity, but there's also acceptance. Like maybe there's acceptance around like, you know, this might be hard. This might be scary, but I see opportunity in this. This could lead to something. So Pema Chodron says, let your curiosity be stronger than your fear. So people who live their best life, their curiosity is stronger than their fear. Doesn't mean the fear doesn't exist. Of course it does. Of course, like that's part of being a human. But the reality is that you don't let that dictate your life. The fear is not in the driver's seat. So your curiosity has to be stronger than your fear. I wrote this down. It's not about not being satisfied. It's about acceptance and being curious what else is out there. So sometimes people will be like, well, what if I'm just satisfied with what I have? Why do I have to keep stepping out of my cave, looking for more things to pursue? Can't I just be here and be satisfied with what I have? And of course, yeah, it's your life. You can do that. But I believe for those who are living their best life, they're always seeking opportunity. And the thing is it's not about not being grateful for what you have. If you're living your best life and you're at a level, at least a level 5 mindset, this is the thought. You're thinking, I am grateful for what I have and I'm excited about where I'm going. You can be grateful and want more. I've seen this a lot with my coaching clients where they're like, I just want to let you know, Ange, I am grateful for this job. I really am. But I just want more. I feel like I'm meant to do more. And it's like, yeah, that's okay. That's great that you have gratitude and you're excited. I don't think it's great when there is no gratitude, because then you're vibing at a very low level and it can be really hard for you to attract additional things. But if you're out there trying to live your best life, then the mindset level, the awareness level needs to be at least bare minimum at a state of gratitude and you being curious and excited. At least curious. Maybe excitement isn't there yet because maybe you're afraid. There's some fear showing up, but curiosity has to be stronger than the fear. Okay. So let me give you an example of this real quick. That's, I guess, what's going on in my life right now. So we are looking to buy, you know, a new house. And right now there's not much on the market in the area that we're looking in. We want to live on this lake in Indiana. To be closer to our family. And then we're also looking at a second place in Beaufort, South Carolina. So anyways, there's not much on the market since we've been looking. And I am someone that believes that if there isn't anything on the market, just like I tell my clients, if there's no jobs that you can find, right, then you seek out opportunity. If you don't see a door there, you make a door. You go through the window, you figure it out, right? And that has always served me because it's led to my husband getting the jobs that he has, where I think I've told you guys this story back in the day where there was no opportunities and the recruiter in the area we wanted to live. And the recruiter he was working with was like, there really isn't much there. You need to kind of like give up, let it go. How about you check Florida? Because he wanted to live somewhere sunny. And I was like, you know what? I don't have to accept that as truth because I know who God is. God is bigger than anything that a human mind can think. And I really do believe anything is possible. So let's just start reaching out to people and see if they know anyone. So I wrote him this letter, started sending it out. And long story short, one office got back to him and they were like, yeah, actually, we're looking for another dentist. Do you want to meet? Do you want to talk about this? So they ended up talking about the opportunity. He ended up negotiating to get another course that he wanted paid for. It was over 20 grand and moving expenses and the schedule he wanted, blah, 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 like all these additional things. And it was like this dream opportunity that he took, which led to more opportunities even for me. But where did that start? That started with seeking opportunity and not just being like, oh, nothing's there. You know, that's not the mindset that I have. That's not how I roll. So the reason I'm saying this is even with the house, going back to looking for the house, I'm like, okay, if there's nothing there in the inventory, I'm not going to freak out. Because I'm about to start messaging people and say, hey, you want to sell your house? I mean, I don't know. I don't care. And the thing is, like, somebody might be like, but that's kind of scary. They might reject you or be like, don't even talk to me. Why are you messaging me? I don't care because my curiosity is stronger than my fear. And I'm here to live my best life. So you can think whatever you want about me. You know, think about it. It's like so many of us are afraid to reach out to someone for something, seek an opportunity. Let's say you made a product and you want to sell it in a store or something. Or whatever. Like, think about it. Like, reach out to someone. And if they're like, no, I don't like you, why are you even reaching out to me? Like, who are you? Who do you think you are? Like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, well, I'm here to live my best life. And two, who cares? Who cares? Really? It, like, we get so afraid of things that don't really matter. So I've been doing that recently. Like, I've been reaching out for different opportunities and just curious. I'm just curious to see what's out there. I don't care if you ignore me, you know? And I used to not be that person. I used to let fear drive my life. And this is the thing, guys. A lot of people say to me, this is not my ego, like, speaking. I'm just being real with you. People say to me, like, you have such a dream life. Like, you get to travel. You do work all the time. You do work you love. You have an amazing husband, blah, blah, blah. Like, people say this to me, and I feel very blessed. But, and they'll act like, ooh, it's so awesome, right? But what you don't see is that it's not always easy. Like, in fact, I'm almost uncomfortable every single day. I'm uncomfortable. I'm doing things to push myself out of my comfort zone constantly. I don't always feel like wonderful. In fact, even going on trips, it's a lot to plan. Like, getting the stuff ready for the Appalachian Trail, all the trips we've been on recently. Like, we spent 30 hours over a weekend period in a car just so my husband can go out and see the practice that he wanted to work at. We had to squeeze that in a weekend because that was the only time that we could find on the calendar before he hops on the Appalachian Trail. And it can be so tiring. So I'm just saying that living your best life doesn't mean it always feels comfortable. And to those that you see, that you admire, and you're like, oh, their life is so cool. Their life is also really hard too. It can be really hard to maintain that level of living your best life. It's going to involve a lot of discomfort. I just heard Ed Mylett, his podcast, Ed Mylett Show. I love Ed Mylett. Like, he just seems like such a cool guy. Anywho, I heard him talking about how he used to think, like, when I get to this level, like, I'm not going to have all these problems, or I'll be able to do this more. I'll be able to exercise more in this way or spend time with people in this way. And he's like, but then I realized, like, every time I up level, there's just another set of problems that come with that, right? And he's like, it's not like it always feels so much better at the next level, but I'm still proud that I'm moving up, you know? Like, he's still feeling good at the level that he's at. And then he moves on to a next level, and with that comes more different responsibilities, other challenges. So I think a lot of people are looking for life to be so easy, you know? Like, they're looking for it to, like, it's like, if it's hard, they don't want to show up anymore. Like the 5-minute challenge, we're doing this online. If you have not done the 5-minute challenge, go there on Facebook. I'll put it in the links. The daily 5-minute February challenge, or whatever I'm calling it. I forget. Anywho, so I share a 5-minute workout every day, and I also do some coaching stuff, and I share a mantra with you and some of the things that we're talking about here. But what I've noticed is people will start to drop off. Like, it's 30 days, right? You can jump on anytime, but you'll see, just even after a few days, people won't show up anymore. Why? It's the consistency. It's that's not there. And it's also because probably life got in the way, and it was like hard for them to jump up and get the 5 minutes. They're trying to figure out, like, they had to be flexible. And the thing is, or they're like, oh, I couldn't do it in the morning. It's like, okay, do it in the evening then. Oh, I didn't really have time. You're telling me you didn't have 5 minutes? Oh, it was longer because you did your talk before, and then it would have been 15 minutes and you did the stretch. Okay, then you fast forward it to the last 5 minutes. So the reason I bring this up is because I want to emphasize that where there is a will, there is a way, right? There's always opportunity to be who you want to be. You just got to seek it out. You just got to find it. Does that mean it's going to be easy and that things are always going to flow the way you want them to? No, of course not. And when we start to get so attached to how something needs to be, we start to generate lower levels of energy, and we cause more suffering for ourselves, and we give our power away. So what I just explained to you was a bunch of excuses where someone was giving their power away and saying, I couldn't show up well or for myself because of this, 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 all these things that are external. So when we do that, we don't live our best life. And sometimes we do this, guys, with, like, even other people in our life where, like, let's say they show up really negatively and always complain. You know those people in your life and you're just like,
I can't be around that person because if I'm around them, it just brings me down, right? Energy is contagious. We know that to be true. But another thing that's true is that you're a very powerful influencer and your energy matters in a space. And you are in charge of how you feel at the end of the day. Yeah, things may affect it, but you are in charge of how you feel. So that means if you're in a situation and you say that I don't show up well around that person because they do X, Y, Z, then that means that you won't show up well unless until they change their behavior. Do you really want to give them responsibility for how you feel? No, you don't. But we do that all the time. And that's where our lower level of energy kicks in. And we also do this with other things in our life where we make excuses for why we can't show up a certain way. Yeah, you may have to adjust things. Maybe you can't do everything you wanted to do. Like for me, I wanted to exercise more than I did today, but I'm not feeling my best. And my schedule is a little more packed than I had initially planned because things came up. So what do? I'm going to shift things around. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to simplify my exercises. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to squeeze stuff in between meetings. Like I'm going to look for opportunity. I'm going to be resourceful. I don't expect life to work out exactly as I want it to. In fact, that would be no fun if that was how life was because I like to be surprised by things. I like to see the goodness that randomly shows up that I didn't think about, right? So it's a different level of energy when you're open and you're looking for possibility in every moment and you're showing up curious. This is a characteristic of those that are living their best life. They operate with that mindset that there's opportunity everywhere. There's always an opportunity in any situation, even if it's hard. But you got to open your eyes to be able to see it. Take the blinders off. You know, when we resonate those lower levels, when we're looking at all the things that are gone wrong and the reasons why we can't, like you're blinded. You know, it's like you have these blinders on. You're not able to see all the opportunities that are there. This is why it's really helpful to work with someone else because they can help you, like a coach. They can help you see more opportunity and take the blinders off. All right. So one more thing I want to talk about is you're willing to leave the cave. So action number two, you're willing to leave the cave to be uncomfortable, right? So Brooke Castillo talks also about how she gave this beautiful story about how, like, let's say there's three mountains. And the biggest one is going to have the best views, right? But it's going to require more out of you. It's going to require more out of you to get there. Which one do you really want? Like to see, you're going to stop at the first mountain because the other one's going to require too much out of you? Or do you love yourself enough to give yourself the best view? Do you love yourself enough to be uncomfortable? You know, like going back to the job stuff, I've been doing a lot of career coaching lately, so it's fresh in my mind. But going back to the job stuff, like sometimes it's like, I want to say, they're like, well, it's uncomfortable, Ange, to talk to this person or do this or do this. And I'm like, do you love yourself enough to be uncomfortable? Right? Are you willing to live your best life? Like be uncomfortable to live your best life? Yeah, you are. Let's do this. Let's go out there and live our best life. Okay. If you don't leave the cave, what happens? You don't really grow much, right? You get depressed if you're not willing to step out of your comfort zone. You're not challenging yourself enough. I really believe that. And you ultimately live with regret. And that's what we're here not to do. We're not here to live with regret, thinking, oh, I should have. I wish I would have done X, Y, Z. No, that ain't us. All right. Action number three. You care for your body well. To live your best life, you need your body to carry out your work. To do that, you need to feel good. And to do that, you have to care for your body. And when I say feel good, you know, I might be contradicting what you think I just said earlier. I mean that generally speaking, you have to feel good enough in your body for you to be able to carry out actions. Like there's a lot of people walking around with a lot of lethargic energy because they're not taking good care of their body. Where they don't feel inspired to do something and they just kind of feel crappy and down because their body is affecting them. Okay. So something to think about, I've been calling myself out on this because like I have not been getting the world's best sleep recently with just everything that's going on and I can feel it in my body. And it's like it affects my cognitive ability when I'm trying to show up and when I'm coaching or teaching or it just feels harder for me. And that's not that I can't keep going down that path because that's not going to help me live my best life.
right? So a lot of times when we feel like we're not motivated, we're just feeling down, and we think that something externally has to change, a lot of times it's just you having to care for your body better, right? The lack of sleep may be affecting you, eating crappy foods, dehydration that affects you drastically on a cognitive level, not moving your body, like that stuff. You're just keeping all that catabolic energy in your body. So there's multiple bodies that we need to consider. One is your mental body. So you can think about mind, body, spirit, right? So your mental body, this has to do with your mindset. I would say your energy level and awareness, right? So you really need to be thinking about that part of your body as well. So I've been doing energy leadership index assessments with my most recent coaching clients. I used to do a lot of these in the past, and then I haven't done them in a while. And I was like, why am I not doing this? At the end of the day, every single thing is energy. This really helps a client, no matter what their goals are, to understand how where their awareness levels are at, what energy levels they're resonating at, and what things trigger certain energy levels for them, where the catabolic, that kind of negative energy, we think of it that way, holds us back. How does that show up in our lives? Everybody, it's different for every single person. This is why this assessment is so cool. I love it so much. I find it to be so helpful because we have a really good conversation about your energy levels. What are the things that are triggering you into different levels? Again, where are you being held back? And it's really cool because we start to dig into, I guess, layers and uncover some things that maybe even you're not consciously aware of that are holding you back. So how it works is you take this assessment. It's not like a personality assessment, not like Myers-Briggs or any other kind of personality assessment like that. What it gives you back is what's called an average resonating level. And people who have higher average resonating levels tend to be way more satisfied in their life in all areas, in all categories, and tend to be more successful according to most people's definitions. So it's going to give you an average resonating level back, and then you have something to work with and see how you can shift things. And we know specific areas that you may struggle with through the debrief. So when we do a debrief, it's an hour and a half long, and we dive into how you answered the questions, and I get to see some things that are kind of red flags for you as far as they trigger the lower levels of energy for you. So let me give you an example of how this really helped me in my life back in the day. When I first did my assessment with my coach, she got all my results, and then we dived in, and I did a deep dive in learning about different energy levels, which is cool because it teaches you that. It's like a personal development session as well, so you learn all about that. And then we looked at where I was holding on to a lot of catabolic energy. What were the things that were triggering that for me in my life? So we talked about what's called level two energy, where there's a lot of judgment, I'm right, you're wrong kind of mentality. It's a lower level of awareness. And we talked about how that was showing up for me. I didn't have a lot of it, but there was some there. And even just a little bit of catabolic energy can really hold you back in your life. It's kind of like we talked about, like the hot air balloon, right? It takes a lot of hot air to raise the balloon, only a little bit of sandbags to keep the balloon down. Just a little bit of that in your life can really hold you back. So how it was showing up for me, they explained to you what level two energy looks like in your life. And then I was like, well, I guess it shows up for me when I talk with my younger sister. My younger sister listens to the podcast. Hey. This is years ago. So basically I said, you know, my younger sister smokes. She no longer smokes. But back in the day, she did. And I had a lot of judgment about it. Like, I wanted better for her. I'm like, what are you doing? You're hurting your body. Like, all this judgment, right? And it made it so that she didn't really want to talk to me about things because she felt like I was super judgy, because let's be real, I was. So I was generating a lot of that catabolic energy towards her and in that situation, and it drastically affected my relationship with her. What I wanted was a relationship where I was close to my sister. That is what I truly wanted. But the way I was showing up wasn't in alignment with that. So my coach had this conversation with me, and she said, well, what would it be like, Ange, if you showed up from a level four energy? Like, what if instead of judging her, you showed up and loved her? What would be different for you? What would that look like? And I got to have my brain practice and try that on.
And then I showed up very differently around my sister. And now our relationship's completely transformed. And in fact, she's like the healthiest version she's been in the longest time. And was it due to my judgment? No. Maybe it was due to my love. I don't know. Maybe I did play a role in that, loving on her and still loving on her. But that drastically changed things for me. That little thing, it was so worth that assessment for me, that small thing. But there's even bigger things I've seen where it's transformed people's relationships, where it's helped them bring new relationships into their life because now they show up. Instead of having the lower energy hold them back, like from going to a new event where they may or might be afraid to meet strangers and they might be avoiding it, that's level one energy. We talk about what that looks like. Oh, that's where it's showing up in your life. Now, what if you were at this level? How would that look? So it kind of just like this way of like sparking conversation, but everything's very personalized to you. So if you ever feel like you want to take like this is awesome personal development, it's going to help you with every area of your life, and you want to do a deeper dive coaching with me, you can sign up for this. Just shoot me an email. That'd be the best way right now. At my email, Ange at AngeBarnard.com. It'll also be in the show notes. The session and the debrief session that goes with it, it's an hour and a half long, or the assessment and the debrief, it's an hour and a half long. That is $197. Otherwise, if you do a bigger package of coaching, it gets included and it gets discounted, but you can just show up and even do a debrief, and that's really going to help you a lot. So if you want to take the mental body side to like care for that more, that's something I highly recommend, or anything that's helping you become more aware of what's happening in the mind that's holding you back, because your mind is creating everything else in your life. So we got to figure that out. Ain't just about the body working on that. It's the mind too. And you know that. So the spiritual body, another kind of body, if you will, is looking at your relationship with God or whatever that is to you, that faith of yours, that personal connection to something greater than you, really looking at that. Because people who live their best life, they do have faith in some way. It may not look exactly like my specific faith, but they have faith. That's a commonality across the board. They believe that there's a greater purpose, right? That's part of people living their best life. They believe that there's some greater force at play, you know? Physical body is that you're challenging your physical body. This is important because we are wired, one, to move, to be consistently moving. Like, you know, back in the day, we moved from place to place, like our ancestors. Our body is wired that way to have consistent movement. We feel our best when we are moving throughout the day. Maybe you're not doing it like every second of the day, but you're getting some movement in. We start to feel really crappy when we're not moving at all. All of us. I know that for sure. Lifting heavy things, like we are wired to, back in the day, also be carrying heavy things around with us, you know, like the nomadic kind of nature. We may not do that so much anymore. Some of us might when we work on like farms and things like that. I know some of my listeners have their own farms, which I think is so awesome. But maybe like in your life, can you add more lifting of heavy things? Do some strength training. This is really important to help you with your overall aging process, to be strong, your bones to be strong, like just adding a little bit here and there. I'm the queen of the 5 minutes. I do all kinds of like 5 minute workouts, and it makes a huge difference long term. So that's another way that you can care for your body. Obviously, you know, the food, the water, like not eating the crappy stuff, drinking your water, sleeping, all that stuff that I mentioned all the time that I just mentioned, that's something to be thinking about as well. So I want you to be thinking about where or how, what area of your life, like what specific area of caring for yourself do you need to amp up? Is it the sleep? Is it eating better foods? Is it moving more? Is it the mental part, investing in yourself and your own mental growth? Working on your relationship with your spiritual relationship. Like, what is it for you? You know what it is. And how can you amp that up so you can care for yourself more, because you know you need to live your best life? We all have something we can improve on here. If you don't do this, what's at stake? One, you're not going to have the energy that you need to carry out your work in the world. And you're going to attract more opportunities in your life when you feel good and you're generating good energy. You watch. When you start taking care of yourself more, more amazing opportunities come your way. I've seen this work with my clients, and I see it in myself all the time. All right. Action number four is to keep gaining awareness of the things that hold you back from being who you want to be. This is you investing in yourself. We just talked about this, how one way to do it was to do an ELI assessment. You know, work with someone that's outside of you that can help you see those things that may be holding you back. Because sometimes it's really hard for us to see it on our own because it's subconscious stuff. So this may involve like limiting beliefs that you have around just not being good enough to do something. You're not good enough stories that we make up. Maybe even things that happened to you in the past that you made it mean something that doesn't serve you. Your brain did. Now there's a meaning placed on it. It doesn't serve you and it's holding you back. So an example is when I did some of this work, I used to have this belief that I had to do everything by myself. Like I couldn't trust anyone else to help me. Like this is like a belief that I became aware of through coaching. And how did I get it? It came from my childhood because I was kind of neglected growing up. Like I was left alone on my own to do a lot of stuff for myself and care for myself at a young age. And I felt like I learned this coping mechanism that I had to show up and care for myself. And that was the truth. Like back then, like that was part of my survival. And then when I got married, it was really hard for me to let someone else like help me with stuff. Like I didn't trust someone to follow through with stuff. Like I felt like I had to do it all on my own. I had to work through that in my marriage initially and help my husband feel like he was valuable. You know, I had to work through that. A lot of us independent women out there, we may have some of that stuff that showed up from childhood, right? But then maybe when other people offer to help us, we don't accept it. And then it affects their worth and value too, right? Or maybe it hinders our relationship with that person. I don't know. Everybody's situation is different. But anyways, that's an example. Another example of mine, oh man, I got so much stuff. We all do. Another example may be like my money stories. You know, the scarcity mindset, growing up in a environment where I didn't have a lot of money, you know, when I was younger. So I had to work through, I've had coaching around that, work through that so that I could believe that I could make more and that my services were worth more. Like that was stuff I had to work through. That was me working on that mental side. It was me gaining awareness of the things that were holding me back from being who I wanted to be. That's what people do who live their best life. They invest in themselves to gain more awareness. And they know that someone outside of them is going to help them do it because we get too stuck in our own minds with the stuff, you know? They seek feedback. Even people who are living their best life are always asking, how can I make things better? They welcome the feedback, even if it's uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. I was reading some of my reviews from my previous class that I taught, and I was like, every time I open up the email that has the results, the survey results, my stomach drops, and I'm like, ugh. Like I'm about to read some things where they're going to say, you could do this better and, you know, right? And usually it's really good things, but there's always the things that are going to make me better. But it's uncomfortable for me to hear. It is. But I'm committed to my growth. And I know that that's uncomfortable. I'm committed to living my best life. And I got to know what's holding me back from that. And it's not going to be in my own awareness, right? I mean, I'm going to have to gain it from someone else to help me see and shift what I'm thinking. You know, that's what I mean by that. Okay, and this is a question I have for you. Is your future going to be better than your past? Is it? You get to decide that your future is going to be better than your past. And the only way it can truly be better is by you becoming more aware of what is holding you back and shifting your mental programming and energy to align with the best version of you. You got to be a match for the best version of you. Your thoughts do, and your energy have to be in alignment with the best version of you. So we got to get that to align, and that starts with the awareness and then the shifting work. So are you willing to commit to this kind of work? To commit to having your future be even better than your past? I am. I feel like my life is always getting better. I really believe that. Like I hold on to that belief, like the best is yet to come. It's always getting better. Because I'm always growing. I'm always trying to work on myself. I remember there was some guys that I know that were big like football players back in the day. And I went to a school where they were really into football. And I still remember these guys, and they're probably like 30 and they were still reminiscing about their football days. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't look back on your wonderful memories, but it was like that was the best times of their life. And they would act like, yeah, that was like the best time of my life. And I'm like, that's really sad to think about. Like, that was the best time of your life. I mean, it can be an awesome time, but I always think about life is just always getting better. Like, my best isn't yet in my past. My best is coming. It keeps coming. That's a different awareness level and a different way of thinking. But you have to be committed to making your future better than your past. And that involves you evolving and shifting your identity and who you're showing up as. That's why we do the Clarify Your Vision course every year. We think about a new identity that we want to have, who we want to evolve to being, right? And this is why we do the Commit to Your Vision, so that you can actually follow through, because we know it's uncomfortable doing the work to be a different version of yourself. Your brain's going to fight you on that. There's going to be resistance. So we need all the support we can get. We need the community. We need the coaching. We need all those things, right? All right. What happens? If you don't do this, if you don't keep gaining awareness of the things that are holding you back, you take your pain out on others and you energetically get held back from your best life. And your energy too affects others around you, people that you love. An example is recently I became aware, because Ian told me, I became aware that I can be very condescending to him. He told me this the other day. Like, when I get really tired and grouchy, when I'm not taking care of myself, going back to our another action step, I can show up and like take that out on him, where he asks me questions and I don't want to give him my brain power and answer his questions. And he's always asking me questions about all kinds of things. Like, Ange, where's this thing? Where's this? Something that he didn't know where it was, right? Or like, what should I say to this person? And I'll be like tired and I don't want to give my energy, my mental energy. And I'll be like, just say something really condescending. Like, he'll be like, where do you know where this thing is? And I'm like, I don't keep track of everything that you place in the house. And I'll like say it like that, but it's like this condescending way of saying something. And anyways, he's like, I hate when you say that to me, like, whatever. So anyways, I was like thinking about that and I was like, well, that's not in alignment with the kind of wife I want to be, like the condescending one, generating that kind of energy towards him. So I became aware of this and I told him the other day for our 5-minute workout, we had the mantra, I choose peace, you know? So I was thinking about this and I messaged him, I texted him, he was at work, and I said, hey, honey, next time, or in the future, if I happen to be condescending to you, can you tell me, can you just say this? I choose peace. Because in those moments, it's me not choosing peace. It's me choosing to be like snippy, like snarky and like kind of like crappy towards him. Like that's not me generating peace, right? So I was like, can you tell me I choose peace? And that'll just remind me to put myself in check and remind me of the kind of person I want to be. And he is like, yep. And he like sent me a kissy face because he knows I'm very self-aware and I will take responsibility for how I show up. And anyways, a lot of it has to do with me lacking the sleep. And that's why I've been like that. So this is awareness, guys, that I'm gaining. So anyways, I just wanted to share that story with you. Let me see. Where are we at? Okay, we're moving on to action number 5, which is you intentionally decide what is worth giving your energy to versus reacting to life. This is very similar to what we just talked about and kind of goes into my next example. Like this morning, I found myself getting a little, I don't know what the right word is, but a little annoyed, I guess, in the morning. And I was running around trying to get breakfast together. And it's just been a really busy day. So in my mind, I was thinking about all the things that I needed to do. And you know how that sometimes can overwhelm you. So that was happening for me. The energy was starting to get generated like that. And Ian asked me some question, and I think he was looking for something because he usually loses things, and he was looking for it. And I remember myself wanting to say something that condescending. Even this morning, guys, despite I sent him this text yesterday about choosing peace. So I held myself back, and I was like, I choose peace. I choose peace. And it was fine. I did not say anything mean. I'm very proud of myself. But I had to like do that work, right? And instead of me reacting, because my reaction would have been some mean condescending comment, which affects his energy for the rest of the day. But instead I was like, oh, let's go back. I'm going to intentionally decide, is this worth giving my energy to? him not finding something right now? Is it worth me giving energy to that and being annoyed and all that and generating that kind of energy? No, it's not. It's not worth it to me. Also, people that we think of as successful, they're often criticized by other people. But those that are out there living their best life, they don't let the criticism from other people stop them from showing up as who they want to be. And this can be even the small things. Like, I think a lot about my own personal eating habits, like how I will bring almond milk with me. Because oftentimes when I'm at a place, like someone will want to give me coffee and I'll want to have almond milk in my coffee. Or let's say I'm staying at a hotel. So I buy some and I pour it into my coffee. I have this little container that I've been carrying around. It's actually like a pill bottle. It's a magnesium little bottle that used to have magnesium tablets in it. And I've been pouring a little bit of almond milk in there so I can pour it in my coffee if I'm somewhere and, you know, there's no almond milk, right? I'm prepared. And someone might be like, that's weird. It'd be like judgy towards me about like you're carrying around almond milk or you're carrying around whatever it is you're carrying around. And I think about it as like, I'm okay with being criticized, even about stupid things like that, because I'm here to live my best life. And what makes me feel my best is when I do have almond milk in my coffee. Like, I just feel like that. And all of us have these little things that we know make ourselves feel our best. And I want to say that people outside of you may criticize those things that do help you feel your best. And this is about you living a life true to you and intentionally deciding also what is worth giving your energy to. Is there criticism worth giving your focus and your energy to? Or is living your best life more important to you? Or is peace more important to you? So that's something that we need to think about. So action number 5 is that you intentionally decide what is worth giving your energy to versus reacting to life. Let me see. I have one more statement here. If you don't intentionally decide, your life gets decided by others and your energy is given to them versus fueling you and your dreams. There becomes a distraction. And a lot of us are giving our energy to people because we're frustrated about something they're doing. We keep directing our energy towards them. And then it's depleting our own energy and stopping us from being who we want to be in the world, right? It's becoming a distraction in our life. And I think that's something that in my faith, where I feel like if Satan was to do something to hold us back in our lives, it would be distraction. Just distracting us from being who we are meant to be in this world. And sometimes this can look like even social media being a distraction or some other thing. But it just directs, it shifts our focus to something else and stops us from showing up to be who we want to be. Because now we're depleted of energy. We can't show up to be who we want to be, right? So it's something to be thinking about. Where have you been giving energy to that is not really worthy of your energy? Maybe you're giving it to somebody that's been making you mad, or giving it, like I said, on the social media and scrolling, and you're like, what, hours had passed? Like, that's a common thing that people do. And that's not really worth it, right? Because your energy could be used to show up and be the person that you're meant to be in this world. All right, to step out of the cave, as we talked about earlier. All right, so let's do a quick recap just to go over these. Action number 1 is to pay attention to your dreams. Listen to the whisper in your heart. Action number 2 is that you're willing to leave the cave. You're willing to be uncomfortable because of the love you have for yourself, because you want to live your best life. In the name of your best life, you're willing to be uncomfortable. Number 3 is that you care for your body well. All parts of your body, mind, body, you know, physical side, mind, spirit, physical, all of that good stuff. Action number 4 is that you keep gaining awareness of the things that hold you back from being who you want to be. You invest in yourself and your mental growth. And then the last action step is that you intentionally decide what is worth giving your energy to versus reacting to life. I want to add a little bit to this one. This also means you deciding where your time goes every day, because time, you give energy to the time every day, right? You give a certain amount of time towards something, a certain amount of energy towards something. So think about being intentional with where your time goes. This is something I've been working on in my life. This is what we do in the Commit to Your Vision program, is we look at like, Okay, you got 24 hours in this day. What do you want to give your energy to? You tell me you want to be this kind of person. Where do you have this laid out in your calendar for how you're showing up? That's what a lot of people don't do. They have the goals, but actually moving forward on them and prioritizing the forward movement, that doesn't get done. So we better be pulling out those calendars and be intentionally deciding where we give our energy. Something else to think about. All right. I hope you have an awesome day. Let me know if you like this episode. Leave a review again if you haven't. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.